pray. Father, help us now to understand your word, to think seriously about the things before us this morning. We pray that your Holy Spirit would be at work. Amen. I've discovered an amazing machine, and I can grant you this one news. If you sign the form this morning, I can make you 18 again. You're going back, you're going to do the whole thing again. Just think about it for a moment, you don't need to pull it up. But who's signing up? Who wants, and it's not just for a day, it's permanent. Who wants to go back and be 18 again? Now, there's some obvious things that probably flood into your mind. The first one that floods into my mind is, hey, thank you, been there, done that, let's move right along. And I wonder, I thought that's what everyone thought, but Jodie and I were looking at the kids the other day, and I said, oh, I would not want to be 5 years old again. And she said, are you serious? They've got no responsibilities, they do what they want, I'll be 5 minutes a second. Maybe that's just an issue first, don't mention it. But would you want to go back in time? Would you want to undo what the years have done to you? And I hope you see that it's rather a complex question. Because if I just said, would you like to have a lot less doctor's appointments? Well, that's pretty easy, isn't it? Yeah. Would you like your body not to ache so much? Well, that's pretty easy. Yeah. Would you like to be as fit and healthy as you were when you were 18? Of course. But would you want to have to start fresh? Would you want to have to learn all the lessons that you've learned again? Aging is a complicated business. And there's no doubt that as the years tick by, there are certain things that happen that we could really do without. And there are certain things that happen that, though they be joyful or painful at the time, you wouldn't want to take away from who you are now and what you're all about. And so as we talk about aging this morning, I think it's really important that we see a few different perspectives on this and we think about it in a few different ways. And so I think there can be days when you think about the aging process and you grit your teeth together and you go, this is not good. And there are other days when you should be glad of the things that have happened to you, the time that has passed, the experiences that you've had, and the way the years have triggered you. The ode that we say on Anzac Day contains a weird little bit of wisdom. It's kind of profound, but the same idea seeps through pop culture as well. You remember what Billy Joel sing, only the good die young. Now, what's the inherent message there? Well, the inherent message is, getting old is no fun. Just do the young part, that's the good bit. Old, not so good. The same message is in the ode we say on Anzac Day. What is it? The age shall not weary them. That's good. Nor the years condemn. Hang on a minute. Is that what the years do? Now, don't get me wrong. I get those that were lost in war who died young. We have to say, well, there's got to be some positive in that. And yet, those of us that are left behind, well, the years do condemn. Age does weary us. Those are the big issues. How do we deal with this from the Bible? And let me say, this has been a bit of a challenge. Because as you flick through the Bible, as you word search the Bible, there are hundreds and thousands of verses about aging. But when you're looking for that one magical passage that you just preached a nice neat sermon on, not so easy. And now, I'm really launching this sermon from last week. And so if you missed last week, let me give you a very quick summary recap. We tried to work out what death is and why death is. And we looked at Genesis 1 to 3, and we saw very simply that God was the one who gave us life. He breathed life into us by his very spirit. It was a free and wonderful gift. And humans decided, how about this? Let's try life without the life giver. They rejected God, and the punishment had been clear from the beginning. The punishment was, you'll die. The devil said, you won't die, you'll be alright. God had said, you will die. And no sooner had they eaten the fruit, no sooner had they been discovered, God instructed them what their fate would be. And it wasn't simply dying at the click of the fingers. It wasn't an instant, everything's over. No, he said, you're going to have to leave the garden. Life is going to be different now. It's going to be harder. Relationships will be difficult. Childbirth will be difficult. Working the land will be difficult. And ultimately and eventually, from dust you came, and to dust you will return. God had said the punishment was death. The punishment was death. But the weird twist was that as God sent them out of the garden, he didn't cut off his gift of life. He gave them skins to wear to protect them. He maintained a relationship with them, which was different. But he was still the source of life. And as they left the garden, as you read that story, you get this real sense that from now on they are dying. As they live, they also die. And I've had this conversation with people lots of times before. When someone finds out what it is that's going to get them in the end, maybe it's terminal cancer, maybe it's this or that, one of the things that they often say, in kind of a weird positive sense, is, well, I suppose we're all dying, aren't we? I just know what it is that's going to get me. And there's a real truth to that. As you read Genesis 1 to 3, the gift of life is given, but once humanity leaves the garden, for your whole life, you spend it dying. That's a bit miserable this morning, isn't it? And yet, if that's the whole story you get, if that's the whole picture of what the Bible says about life, you've missed a whole lot. Because although you spend your whole life dying, you also spend your whole life living. That's kind of the point. God didn't want to click his fingers and just kick us out and say you're dead. That God wanted life to continue, and God had a purpose and a plan. And here's where the amazing things come. That God has a purpose and a plan for your living, for your 20 years, your 80 years, your however long you get. God has a plan for your living. And in a weird paradoxical way, I think God also has a plan for your dying. See, one of the amazing things about the God of the Bible is he's able to turn things around. He is able to turn our sin into something productive, bizarre. He is able to turn judgment into something productive. Jesus dies on the cross in the most evil act in the history of the world. And what does God do? He uses it to do the most beautiful thing in the history of the world. And so on the cross, we see this archetypal picture of what God is like. He is able to use our evil to bring about good. And so as we think about aging this morning, here's the first thing I want you to see. You are spending every day living and dying. We're in a weird state. You are both living and you are dying, but God has purposes for both those aspects of your life. First of all, let me deal with the miserable bit first, then we'll get to the happy bit. Why is it that God allows you to be dying every day of your life? And what exactly does that mean? Well, part of the aging process, unfortunately, is that our bodies kind of seem to wear out. Now, you could argue that for the first few years, maybe the first 20 or so, they're growing and getting stronger and it's all positive. But I think it was about 17 or 18. And I couldn't quite run as fast as I could the day before. And things start to slow down. Why does God do it that way? Why doesn't God just let us be fit and healthy, give us a number, say, okay, you get 67 years, you can be fit and healthy for 67 years, do the best you can with it, and then you're out. Now, he seems to think that while we live, we have something to learn from the process of our bodies wearing out. And let me say a couple of things about the process of our bodies wearing out. It's miserable, and you shouldn't be happy about it. Why is it happening? It's happening because of sin. Now, let me be clear. I'm not saying it's necessarily happening because of your sin, but they're connected. You see, we sin. We, in the Garden of Eden, sin. We, this very day, will sin. And God has said, what are the consequences? The consequences are that you will die. The consequences are that you can't live in the garden anymore. That things are broken and different. Now, here's the twist. It doesn't seem to get meted out very evenly. God doesn't give the same amount of aging or the same effects of aging to every person. We've already discussed, some people die young when they're still fit and healthy. Some people last into very old age. And God doesn't say that's directly related to your actions, although there are, of course, instances where it is. It doesn't seem to get meted out fairly. Equally, two people can live to 100 and have very different levels of health. Again, that can be because of choices that they've made, but it can also just be the genetics that they've got, and it could be completely unrelated to their own behaviour. There's also a lot of different ways that ageing happens. And so there can be great tragedy when someone's body seems to wear out faster than their mind. But if you flip it the other way, when someone's mind wears out quicker than their body, that's also a tragedy. You see, when people's bodies and their minds and their souls and their spirits and all of those things stop working together the way they're meant to, the way that we were created to be, when we're whole human beings, when those things start to break apart, it is sad. It is a tragedy. It is a consequence of sin. And so the first thing we need to know about aging is it's a miserable business. And we should acknowledge that. Are you angry that your body is wearing out? Well, on one level, there's no point raging each morning. You've got to accept what's going to happen, don't you? At the same time, our world wants to say to you, it's just a natural part of life. Soak it up, enjoy it, embrace it. The Bible says it's not a natural part of life. It's a normal part of life. It's the same for every human being on the face of the earth and has been for a long, long time. But there's a difference between normal and natural. The way God created us to be, we're not meant to wear out. Our mind is not meant to go before our body. They're both meant to work together for your whole life. It is not natural. You should be angry about it. But who should you be angry at? This is often the problem with anger. When you feel angry, you just need someone to point it out. I think the Bible's answer is you should be angry at yourself, and you should be angry at all of humanity. That we keep making this stupid choice to do life separated from the life giver. To over and over try this experiment. What if I don't trust the one who gave me life? Well, I think that might work out better. There's a connection there. When life is hard, when your body wears out, it is because of sin in the world, and we should be angry at sin in the world. Now, that doesn't mean you go and pick some random sinner and take it out on them. You need to wear that yourself. I think one of the first reasons that we need to come to terms with that we age, that our bodies wear out, is a very simple one. God wants to humble you. God wants to humble you. Now I know that in sickness, humility is something that is very easily taught. You see, in the Garden of Eden, the whole point was, I think we might be all right without God. Of course, the lesson we need to learn is, you won't be all right without God. You do not have the power to make yourself happy, to make yourself healthy. This is outside of you. And when we separate ourselves from him, this is the consequence. And so as you feel the aging process, the aches and pains and the more serious stuff, part of you should be angry with sin in the world, angry with our own stupidity in rejecting the one who gave us life. The anger, the frustration, has a good point to land. And yet, as you're angry and frustrated, there should also be a part of you that's able to say, but I accept this. It is just in this broken world. It is significant and important that we learn these lessons. Secondly, the other thing that the aging process is meant to do for you, it is meant to give you hope. Now this one, I need to make a couple of links. How is the aging process meant to give you hope? If God says, you get, I'm just choosing a random number, I keep seeing people smile when I choose a number, and that might be their age, I'm not trying to be careful. Let's say God says, I'll give you 40 years. You'll be fit and healthy, no problems. Will you be looking forward to heaven? Well, you might be. If you've read your Bible and you understand that heaven's about being with God, and it's going to be wonderful, and it all fits together, yes. But when you're fit and healthy, it's pretty easy to forget about heaven. It's pretty easy to forget about the hope of what is to come. When you remember what's wrong with this world, when that comes home to roost in your own body, that's when you should start thinking, you know where I'd like to go? I'd like to go to a place where bodies are working naturally, properly. Where mind and body and soul and spirit are put back together. Where God has things running the way they're meant to. You see, every time something goes wrong with your body, you have to make another doctor's appointment. A part of you should be saying, come on, God, let's get up there. I cannot wait for what you have ready for me in heaven. When the evil that we did is undone. When the consequences of our sin are restored because of what Jesus did. The aging process should humble you, but it should remind you of the hope that we have in heaven. Your life is a continual process of dying. It is miserable. But, as I mentioned earlier, there is another very important perspective to this. Your life is also about living. One of the phrases that, as I was kind of working through the scriptures, trying to work out what the scriptures say about aging, there's a lot of old people in the Bible. And when lots of the old people die, who've lived long lives and done lots of good things, one of the phrases that comes up, in Chronicles 23, before David's death, mind you, about 15 chapters before David's death, so it's hard to find. When David was full of years, he came to the end of his life. It recurs, it's in the Psalms quite a lot. What does full of years mean? Well, when you read this phrase full of years in its context, over and over, it's really positive. It's not when David was full of years and he was real worn out. It's when David was full of years, he'd done all of these things. He had learned so much. He had been through so many trials that the Lord had brought him through. And as he was full of years and still trusting the Lord, this is very good. Also, in the New Testament, we read that passage from Titus, chapter 2. And there's a whole series of passages I could have chosen, lots of interesting things to talk about there, not for today. But the New Testament seems to speak about old people and young people being different. And what is it about old people? Well, they've got more experience. They're full of years. What does that mean? Well, you've got a well out the back? No. What it means is they're to be honoured and respected. There's something important and valuable that comes through the ageing process. And that's not simply that you're closer to dying. No, it's that you're full of years. That God has been at work in you all of that time. And so there's something in the aging process that isn't just God using a negative and turning it into a positive. There's something in the aging process which is positive. Simply positive. You see, why does God allow us to keep on living? Partly so we can experience the consequences of our sin, but also, and equally importantly, God allows us to keep on living because when he created us with a purpose.
And we are still able to live out that purpose. God has plans for you. He has good works for you to do. Many good works that you've done over your life already. And he has more plans in store for you. God wants you to participate in the work that he's doing in the world. Now, what's the primary purpose of people? Well, God made us to be in relationship with him and to be in relationship with one another. And if you've been around a while, I know you have, you've had some relationships in your time. You've loved people. You have cared for people. You have loved the Lord. And as those things add up, that is significant. That is important. You see, God didn't just put us here to twiddle our thumbs until we finally die and then then we go to heaven. No, no, what you do matters. Your life is significant. God lets the aging process happen, that you'll be humble, that you'll have hope, but also that you'll have purpose, that you'll continue to be who you are meant to be. It is a wonderful thing that you are able to spend your time living the way the Lord wants you to live, loving the way the Lord wants you to love. An interesting little aside here, and I had a line I was going to use, but I just worked out it was completely wrong. I'll tell you the line. Do you know the one part of life that Jesus never experienced? Pretty obvious, isn't it? He didn't grow old. Now, the one part of the human experience. Now, as I thought about that more during the week, I realized, hang on, there's a whole lot of things he didn't experience. He was single, he never got married, he never had children. Lots of parts of the real human experience that he didn't experience. He experienced his real human experience, 30-odd years. But he didn't grow old. Then I delved into the scriptures a little bit to try and work that out. Now, there's that verse that is in Isaiah, that the Lord will not let his Holy One see decay. But as you dig into that a bit, it really seems to be about the fact that he's resurrected 3 days later. It's not about the aging process. Could Jesus have lived into old age and then still died for the sins of the world? I presume so. The Bible doesn't say anything about it. It doesn't make a big point about that. But where God is generous to you and gives you years here on earth to do his work, to be a human being, to love and care for people, it is good. It is good that you are alive. And so the last thing, the fourth thing that I want to tell you that God is doing with the aging process is I hope that he is giving you peace. But humility, hope, purpose, and peace. Because as you age, I think one of the things that you're meant to work out is that God is in control. God is in control. He knows the time and the date of your death. He has that all sorted out. It may make no sense to you. It may not come when you think it would have been best for it to come. But God is in control. For some, he chooses to fill us with years. He has things for you to do. For others, he calls you home earlier. And there are examples of that over and over in the Bible. John lives to old age, writing and doing all sorts of things. He's there on Patmos in that prison. The other disciples all seem to get taken early. Why did God do it that way? Well, you can come up with different theories and ideas, and clearly he had some things he needed John to do. But it's God's business. He gets to decide. He is in control. Let me sum up. What do you think of the aging process? Well, I hope you think it's a bit frustrating. I hope you think there's certain aspects of it that are really quite infuriating. You should. Aging is a result of sin, and it is moving toward death. And yet, make no mistake, as this negative thing is going on, there is also a wonderful and positive thing going on. It's called life. It comes from God, He keeps on going until the day you die. And here is the greatest news of all. Aging is a temporary process. Let me repeat that. Aging is a temporary process for those who trust in the Lord Jesus. He promises to restore you fully. Mind, body, soul, the full package. After you die, he will put you back together. And he will do it naturally. As a human being should be put back together. You will be restored. But here's the amazing twist. It won't be like he hit a big red reset button. He won't erase all the years of your life and pretend they never happened because they were in this corrupted world. No, no, he has been building and working in you, doing good in you. The way you live and the things you do now matter. Whether you're 18, whether you're 95. The way you live, the things you do, the things you pray, they matter and they are significant. Let me repeat those four words. Oh, I've lost them. I hope you can remember them by now. Humility, hope, purpose, peace. God has a plan for you. Let me pray. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you for the way you created the world, the beauty of what was natural, when everything was full and correct. Father, we repent of our sin, which has brought corruption and decay into this world. As we reflect this morning on the nature of our lives, on the aging process, Father, we do pray that you would enlighten us, that we might think about aging in all its many components. Father, we do mourn the fact that our bodies wear out and that our minds slow down. Father, we pray that you would give us the right, just anger and frustration at sin and our stupid choices. At the same time, Father, we pray that you would give us that peace and hope that comes from knowing that your plan is being fulfilled. That even our mistakes, even the consequences of our mistakes, are being used for your good purposes. Father, we pray that you would give us, each of us, peace as we come to terms with the way our lives are going. Help us live well. Help us die well. Help us to trust you. Amen. We're going to stand and we shall sing again. Number 735.